Welcome to the Wellness Renaissance Podcast, exploring topics to help you find the pieces that fit into your health puzzle. Hello and welcome. Thank you so much for taking your time and spending it with us today and checking out the podcast. We have a great conversation coming up with Dr. Laura Hill, and Dr. Laura is trained as a doctor of chiropractic. She practices an advanced, specific, far-reaching technique that she is going to talk about a bit, as well as what brought her to the work that she's doing and some of her insights around our personal health and healing, and then lots of other goodies too. I met Dr. Laura actually while we were both in the common kitchen area of the location that we both have offices, and we discovered that we both have a great appreciation for using various jars and canning jars for things like drinking glasses and bringing lunch. Extremely handy and versatile tools, just saying. Also, at about this same time, I had a back challenge show up for me. And so because of this, I have had the pleasure of experiencing her work firsthand. I hope you enjoy. I think it's a great conversation and a wonderful chance to get to know Dr. Laura. Before we dive in, I do want to just put this out there quick as a little bit of housekeeping. We've gotten some feedback that some folks who have signed up for the email on the Wellness Ren podcast page that they have not been getting them. And if you have requested the emails, please look in your spam folder. They can sometimes sneak in there. Make sure if you have a way to add us as a contact that you go ahead and do that. That can be really helpful too. You can also, when you find them in the spam folder, you can also sometimes mark not spam. So if you do that, that should also help. If you have any questions at all or need any help, feel free to contact us through the website or through my email. And the email that the reminders come from is judy@wellnessrenpodcast.com. All right, let's get to it. Welcome, Laura. Thank you so much for taking your time.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Excited to talk with you and share with the world what you're doing. So you and I met at the Regis offices in Duluth, and you recently started your practice out of here at Regis. And so we ran into each other, and I was in desperate need of some help, and you were standing right in front of me. It was very convenient. I want you to introduce yourself, tell us what you do and how you do it, and then what brought you to where you are, kind of your history, your story.
Sure. Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me here today. I have a deep sense of purpose with what I do. And so the more people that I'm able to connect with and allow them to really understand what's going on in their body and in their lives, I truly, truly believe that we can have a really huge impact on the world by just getting people some of this information. I practice a sort of far-reaching and advanced approach, chiropractic approach. How that looks is essentially someone who goes to chiropractic school has a baseline of information, of knowledge, and skill within their technique, and then one can go beyond that and study more, many, many hours more, hundreds of hours more in a lot of cases, to learn this advanced approach. Kind of like you would imagine a family physician would go through medical school to be a family physician and then perhaps study beyond that to be, I don't know, a neurosurgeon.
Okay, so just so I understand it correctly. So most chiropractors get the baseline, and then is it like you have to choose something from there, or you can stop there and start your chiropractic practice there, and that's fine, but you can also go beyond?
Correct, yeah. Okay. Just about anyone can, straight out of school, you know, open up a practice or join another practice and just start practicing, and a lot, if not most, people do.
Okay, cool. So your extra
the additional piece that you add on and kind of what informs your treatment and your philosophy. So talk about that.
Sure. So first I want to talk about chiropractic a little bit, because I think there's a lot of different information and ideas about out there about what chiropractic is. And there actually is a lot of things out there about what chiropractic is. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of different approaches and modalities and perspectives around chiropractic, even within the chiropractic profession. So I want to speak to that for a second. A lot of chiropractic, like a lot of what were formerly considered alternative and, you know, complementary practices, a lot of chiropractic has sort of wanted to join in with the medical field. Mm-hmm. And in sort of seeking that acceptance has taken on a lot of the qualities of the medical field. So it's become very allopathic. It's become, you know, meaning that it's really about figuring out what's wrong and treating what's wrong. So that's a very valid thing for what it's good for. But I will say the chiropractic at its roots was really about going to the source of, or what is called or referred to as subluxations. So I won't go into subluxations too much now, but now that I've said it, I have to. So a vertebral subluxation is a misalignment or distortion of one of the 24 movable segments of the spine. So really, as chiropractors, what we're doing, although most people think of it as a very musculoskeletal thing, it's actually the nervous system that we're working with. So the spine and the nervous system, because the spinal cord is actually what runs through the spine. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, it's really important. And because no muscle can move any bone without having a nervous system tell it where and how much to do that. And so one of the most effective things that we can do is bring the focus to the nervous system. Now, different chiropractors do that to varying degrees. Some are much more focused on the joint and the alignment of the bones. Mm-hmm. Even those chiropractors, even if they're not trying to, they're affecting the nervous system. I will just say that. However, the degree to which they're focused on the nervous system versus the bone or the joint varies from chiropractor to chiropractor. The particular approach that I use is very focused on the nervous system and really much more focused on supporting someone's body and spine, correcting itself through that nervous system. So I'm much more interested in helping someone develop the strategies within their body and their spine and their nervous system versus doing it to them or for them, if that makes sense.
Can you talk a little bit more about that? And just clearing up exactly what you mean by that?
Sure, absolutely. A lot of times, I think without going into it too much, a lot of times, you know, when you think of a typical chiropractic adjustment, you're thinking about getting your back cracked. And again, when we go back to this idea of the vertebral subluxation, your body with a perfect nervous system, one of the most important functions of the nervous system, arguably, is your ability, from the perspective of where your bones are, is your ability to know where you are in space, for your brain to know where your body is in space. This is the fancy word for that is called proprioception. So in the situations where your body-brain connection has been disconnected, oftentimes, your body is unable or incapable to know where your brain is unable to know where your body is in space. So if you can imagine, if we're just thinking from a model of a bone being out of alignment, I will assert that your body has the ability to put that bone back into place.
Okay.
So while a chiropractor may go in and physically, you know, the horrifying term that we use is spinal manipulation. If a chiropractor were to go in and manipulate that bone into place, hopefully at least through a specific chiropractic adjustment versus some sort of manipulation, that could be an effective way of getting that bone into place. Now, the question is why was that bone out of place in the first place? Mm-hmm. And that's sort of what I'm looking at, is getting back to the root cause of that. And so I'm not necessarily asking why or trying to dig in and figure that out or having talk therapy sessions or anything like that. But really going to the root of what's going on and realizing that even the muscles that pull that bone out of place or put it back into place can't do that without the nervous system telling them what or how to do that.
So you mentioned proprioception, and I'm thinking as somebody who might be listening to it, maybe not understanding, would a way to describe that is like if you've been sleeping on your arm or whatever, and then you move your arm and you almost don't even know where your arm is.
You
like
physically,
you almost have to like reach up and grab it and move it.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be a good
description? That's a really great example, especially because, you know, you're actually talking about the nervous system there. We all have a sense of when you lie in your arm and it falls asleep, that's right. Your nerves that are being pinched and you just physically can't even feel it.
Right.
People who are really good athletes tend to have really good proprioception because they have the ability to know that if my hand goes from here to here, that's going to put the ball in the basket or whatever it is.
Right, right. Or piano players even, right?
Exactly.
Just the fine movements of all
for
of that.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, while we're talking about these very physical components, it's also important to realize that everything has to do with your nervous system. That includes not only these physical muscles and bones, but also your organs and your tissues and your glands and everything, including your immune functions in your body, but also your mental and emotional components of your body and your health. And you cannot be a whole healthy person, mind, body, and spirit, without a healthy nervous system.
That makes sense. So the care that you do is really looking at the whole body and how it's all working together and getting in there and trying to help it function more optimally and differently. And so is it fair to say that you are looking more the way you kind of run your practice and the way you think about it? You're not so much looking at the acute, come on in, let me fix your back today. You're looking more of a, okay, let's do this long term. Let's focus on more of a bigger life functioning picture. So it's more of a long term process when you work with a client.
Quite often, yes. And I will say that though my focus is not getting people out of pain, that of course is a byproduct of it happening.
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes even say the people who end up having pain and showing up in my office because of it, and this will sound kind of funny to hear, they're the lucky ones.
Mm.
And they're the lucky ones because 90% of your nervous system has nothing to do with pain. Mm. It goes to your organs or to other important functions in your body where you just kind of have that dimmer switch turned down your whole life. And you just don't even notice because it becomes the new normal for you. And so what I see so often is that the people come into my office because they have pain in their body. It's actually pain in their life. And when they come into the office, they end up having their whole life turned back on.
That's pretty big.
It's
huge.
That's
a big deal. Yeah. Well, and we experience our world so often as, how do I feel in this moment? What is the pain? Make it stop. Make me function. And because so much of our body we don't feel our liver working until it really doesn't. We don't feel our kidneys working until they don't. But they can still work. It's pretty bad when you finally feel the pain of things not working, like kidneys, liver, etc. It's pretty bad. So there's a lot of room between optimal and pain that we have no idea what's going on. And you're basically getting in there before there's a problem and saying, okay, let's fix all this stuff. Let's make everything function, work well. Let's be, in a sense, proactive and help those things not happen. Let's clear up an issue before it's an issue.
Right. And I will just point out right now that we are so in the medical mindset, which we talk about a healthcare system, really, we realize now is more of a disease care system.
Mm-hmm.
That really the only thing that's even covered by insurance a lot of the times or even paid attention to within the system is, are you about to die? Because if you're about to die, we care, and we'll get you to kind of just before where you were before you got to the place you're in. Which, why would you want to be back there anyway? That's what got you here. But, and so even to the extent of talking about, oh, well, we want to keep that from happening, we want to keep you from having a horrible liver disease, and this is how. That's important to me, and that's really important and huge to keep you from having, you know, disease in your organs, for example. However, I will also say that part of the problem is that we don't think it's a problem unless it's a diseased organ. We don't realize how much we're shutting down and diminishing our lives and not living to the fullest of what we could live every single day because we're not diseased. and we think that's fine.
Right. That's healthy.
And fine is not enough.
Right. It is interesting when people find something, whatever it is, whether it's some type of modality or some type of way they're eating, and they're like, I thought I was fine. And oh my gosh, I didn't know I could feel this good. And it changes their life. And that's why some people are so excited about the work they do or something they have to share. Because it's like, oh my gosh, you just have no idea. And you can't know until you know, you know?
It's true. It's true. And you asked earlier about a little bit about my background.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
I'll go into that.
Cool.
I'll go into that a little bit more now.
Perfect.
So my background, and I'll just say, I don't share this part of the story all that often, but I had a pretty troubled childhood. In my teenage years, I think I was in a lot of pain, not physically, but emotionally, mentally. I would like to say a lot of teenagers are, but, I also don't think it was normal, the amount of pain that I was in. And so one of the beautiful gifts in that is that when I finally did find a healthier lifestyle, when I did, far before I ever knew about chiropractic, I really was able to experience the difference that that shift made to me. Mm-hmm. Kind of like you were just talking about, of going from being so unhealthy and unhappy to starting to experience the shift that having more health in my life could bring. Now, what that did was that actually got me on a path to personal growth that hasn't stopped and has really given my life the purpose that it has now, of really every day. It used to be every day learning to be a better person. And now it's really every day learning to uncover the perfect person that I already was when I showed up on this planet and to continue to grow even as that perfect person. So I think one of the most powerful messages that's out there is that there's a lot of people that are seekers. Mm-hmm. And I love these people, like these are my people. And I would love for every seeker to realize that actually they're already there. They're already there. We're already there. And so, but what that did do is that got me on a path. My undergraduate degree was from the University of Minnesota. It was sort of a unique multidisciplinary degree in health and wellness. So I got to really get the holistic picture of health through a Bachelor of Science degree that was very, very science oriented. So it's not just, choosing a degree in biology or physiology or public health or psychology, but it was all of those things. But also, and probably the greatest gift within that degree is the University of Minnesota has an incredible department that works closely with Mayo Clinic and the medical school at the University of Minnesota, and this place is called the Center for Spirituality and Healing.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're doing tons of research on what we could call complementary therapies and alternative healing practices. And what they're doing is they're validating a lot of the things that are otherwise maybe thought of as sort of woo-woo or sort of esoteric or out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also teaching those things to health professionals, including medical doctors and medical students. And so what this did, this is an important part of my story, because what this actually did is I took these, so this was actually the emphasis within my degree through this department. And what actually happened is I took these courses was I was able to get these authentic teachers, people who had been doing these practices, these modalities for decades, and an incredibly strong scientific foundation for those.
Mm.
So what that made me realize is that a lot of these things is actually really progressive, a lot of the times kind of current accepted, quote-unquote science-based accepted things is actually a couple of decades behind at best.
Yep.
And really the current information, it just takes a while to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
So what I was able to get from that is an incredible amount of certainty. So that as I started to uncover a lot of these different mind-body related health practices and spirituality and everything else, I realized it's not that out there. Like, I really knew that there was a lot of information and science to back it up. So after my undergraduate degree, I actually went through a yoga teacher training and I started teaching yoga full-time. And so I was a full-time yoga teacher until I moved to California many years ago. So really what that did was it got me to a place of being really on the path of growth and healing and health, and really ultimately is what brought me to chiropractic, which I never even had considered. prior to sort of serendipitously showing up at the chiropractic school that had sort of this orientation weekend / personal growth weekend. And really, I was at that time, I was researching grad programs. Was I going to be a medical doctor? Was I going to be a naturopathic doctor? Just kind of looking at all these different upper level healthcare modalities, because I knew that I wanted to serve in a bigger way. I knew that yoga was huge and it changed people's lives. And somehow I also knew that I could do more and serve. So it was when I went to this chiropractic weekend at the school that ultimately was the school that I went to, I knew that weekend that this is what I was going to do. And I knew because basically what I heard was the original foundational chiropractic philosophy. And I heard what it was about. And I learned that actually what chiropractic was based on, what it was founded on originally, was the same message that I've been telling people and learning as a student and a teacher of yoga.
Interesting.
Deep philosophical stuff that's really about connecting to your own highest self, your own highest version of yourself, recognizing that there's an innate intelligence and innate wisdom in your body, in your life, that manifests as you, that you within you have that healing ability. And the only thing that we need to do, there's a quote actually, that nature needs no help, just no interference. So really a chiropractor's job is not to fix you or to do anything or to give you anything that you don't already have, because it's already inside of you. Really the chiropractor's job is to remove any interference to that healing.
Interesting. And we have a culture and a medical system that shuts that down so much and so quickly in our lives. And that's what you're trying to bring forward.
Yeah.
Nice.
So it's a really powerful message. And if everyone in the world could just get that message, like really get it, that really within you there is an ability to heal. And I think people do get it, and we're kind of enculturated a different way. We're kind of enculturated to believe that we need something that's outside of us in order to heal, right? We need this pill or this potion, or, you know, we didn't need that body part anyway. You know, and I don't want to say anything, you know, I definitely don't want to speak against the medical system as a whole. There is a lot of issues with it, but when it's used at the right time, the right place, thank God. Mm-hmm. I think there's not one of us that doesn't either have someone in their life or, you know, that ourselves have our lives saved by the medical system. And, you know, so let's celebrate that and also recognize that it's not the end all be all. And for things like chronic illnesses, stress-related illnesses, which, by the way, account for about 90%. Center for Disease Control said about 90% of doctor visits are related to stress. Mm-hmm. 90% of visits in doctor's offices are related to stress.
Wow.
And what does the medical system have to do to give us for stress?
Antidepressants, sometimes.
Anti-anxiety medications.
Yeah, muscle relaxer type things.
You know, or whatever it manifests into, whether that's, you know, pain or, you know, there's painkillers if you end up with back pain because of the tension, because of the stress. And really, most of the time, they're not even necessarily looking at that. You hear all the time people saying, well, you know, I think it's related to stress. Sadly, oftentimes, even that is sort of blown off. Think about high blood pressure. How many people out there are on high blood pressure medications? High blood pressure is not because you have a deficiency of blood pressure medication in your system.
Right.
Don't get me wrong, these things can save people's lives, but for the long term, if people are being put on medications and not looking at the underlying issue of what's going on, what is that doing for their life?
Right. We look at the going to the doctor as the answer versus, in a sense, the Band-Aid until we find out the actual problem.
Right. And we've all heard the analogy, and it's a very fitting one, is if you were driving your car down the road and the check engine light turned on, if you went to the mechanic and you said, hey, my check engine light is on, can you fix it? And the mechanic started to go into your dashboard.
Right.
and say, no, this is the quickest way to get rid of this problem. I'm going to make the light turn off. All right. I need to do is unscrew the light bulb and the light will not be on anymore. How would you feel about that mechanic? Would you go to that mechanic again?
Yep, bye-bye.
But we keep on going over and over and over again because it's the options we're given. Mm-hmm. It's just what we're given. It's what we know. And it's what we're told over and over again on TV every time we turn on the tube. Mm-hmm. And so just for people to know and realize that there is a different option. And, you know, also there is a lot of money that goes into this. And a lot of what that money is doing is, don't want to use the word brainwashing us, but it's really convincing us and telling us and creating a culture that this is the only quote-unquote safe way mm-hmm. to take care of your health. Going to those other places, well, there's just not a lot of science to back it up, so we don't know.
Right.
There's no double-blind placebo study to back up going to, you know, XYZ alternative therapy, and so it may or may not be safe. Mm-hmm. When the truth is that the number one cause of death in our country is medically related, mm-hmm. whether it be mistakes or misprescribed medication or illnesses, you know, acquired in the hospital, between all of the different medically related ways that people can die, it beats cancer, it beats heart disease, is the number one reason that people in our country.
And there's a good share of Facebook memes that say, this is happening. Why are we not looking at this? What's going on that this is being ignored?
Because the people that have the ability to affect change in this area mm-hmm. are being funded by the organizational entities that are largely responsible for this happening.
Right.
So be careful when you release this.
I used to work with a nutraceutical company, and they would talk about how doctors would say, well, I haven't heard about that, so that can't be valuable. It can't work. Mm-hmm. And I heard that and I thought, well, and some of the doctors were actually talking about this particular product and saying, I used to say that. And I was like, wow, did they really say that? And then I started meeting people who would go in and say to the doctor, I would like to try using this. And the doctor would say, well, either that product or other things. I don't really know anything about that, so it can't be very good. It's like, well, wait a minute. Think about that when your doctors, you know, they're busy people. They don't get to study as much as many of them would like to. Right. There's so much to know that is positive, and they have their specific training. I had a doctor say to me, we're all just working with the knowledge that we have, and we're all doing the best we can. And I think if more doctors would just be able to say that and admit that, and let their patients know that, it would give their patients a lot of open-mindedness about their own ideas that they might have. But it's rare that a doctor's going to say that to you.
Yeah.
They want to be the answer, and we want them to be the answer. I want to go to the doctor. I want to have them give me all the right answers.
We all want the magic bullet.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think there's a couple of things that we need to do with that. Number one is find a doctor that you trust. When you do have to go to the doctor, you know, seek one out that is at least a little bit open-minded. The second thing is just know that there is a paradigm that even the most holistic or integrative of doctors, they are working within. And so to take that information, and the most important thing that you can do is be empowered. Empowered about your health, be empowered about your choices. And I said earlier, maybe the most powerful message that someone could get is to realize that there is this healing ability and potential, this innate intelligence, this innate wisdom within them. That part of that innate wisdom is the ability to have that gut check and have someone tell you, no, that thing that you just felt a strong sense about that would be helpful for you. To have someone tell you that, I don't think that that's going to help you. And to have that gut sense of, actually, that's okay, I am going to look into it some more. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're feeling guided to something, if you're feeling called to something, if you're feeling called to a practitioner, there's so many things that we just don't know. And that intelligence is working through you, through your hunches, through your... And so it's just really more and more learning to become more connected. And, you know, that connection is your mind-body connection. That connection is your body-brain connection and your brain-body connection. And so really doing everything that it takes, including regular chiropractic care, to keep that brain-body connection at its best.
My next question would be, if you have any other continuation of your story to bringing you to where you are today?
Yeah, sure. So when I, before I ever had, you know, knew anything about being a chiropractor or thinking that that's what I would do or anything, after I taught yoga, I moved to California. Well, okay, so when I moved to California, I was looking around and I happened across a chiropractor. And she said, I do a very special technique, so go onto my, you know, website and check it out and see what you think about it. And I had this really strong resonance with what she was doing. I'll just say, talk about, you know, having your innate wisdom guide you. Mm-hmm. I knew that this was something I wanted to be involved in. So she was actually hiring for an assistant, a chiropractic assistant. And she had pretty much already hired by the time I got to her, but she actually had someone who had been doing this work, receiving this work for a long time, doing her interviewing. And so I got to not only learn about it, but learn about it from someone who's very passionate about it. And so I absolutely knew, even though I wasn't going to be working for her, this was something I had to do for her, for myself. Mm-hmm. So basically what happened was I had my whole life transformed from being in chiropractic care, which I'll say for someone who at that point had basically made a lifestyle out of transformation was a pretty huge deal. And, you know, not only my body, which, you know, I'd obviously kept very healthy through fitness and yoga every day, you know, meditation and, you know, all sorts of other personal growth practices. But it wasn't actually until I had someone outside of myself checking my nervous system and making sure that it was most as connected and energized and working as efficiently and coherently as possible, that I really, truly had the transformation, not only in my body, but in my life, that I have never seen anything as effective as the work that I now do.
Wow, that's pretty big.
And I do want to say one other thing about just something that I mentioned, which we've been talking a lot about, sort of the musculoskeletal and the nervous system and the anatomy and the physiology. And there are a couple words that I mentioned that I think are super key to this work. And those words are energy and coherence and efficiency. So really what we're looking at doing is creating energy efficiency within your system, coherence within your system, so that your nervous system, which is your window into your entire life and experience, becomes more organized, going to higher and higher levels of organization and reorganization, so that it's higher and higher levels of coherency within your nervous system, within your life. Can you imagine how much energy would be available if you were using your energy at its absolute most efficient?
Mm-hmm. And I think that we, as people, as culture, probably don't even understand what the difference is. Do you think that's true? Or
the difference between
using your energy and using it at its most efficient.
Right. Like, yes, absolutely. That's a really good point. Because a lot of us just think the more that we do, the more that we're going to accomplish. Okay. And there's sort of this old idea that if I work harder, then I can get more. Mm-hmm. But then we're actually limited to how much we can actually get by what our body and mind and time can sustain and allow for.
Right. So can you describe that in our body? What does it look like in our body to do? And is that something we can notice? Or is that something that is, you know, seeable on medical equipment, or something we will, when we have the experience, we'll also understand it?
Yes, yes, and yes.
Okay.
So there was a study that was done. It was actually sort of an unofficial study, so it's not a published one. But it was done with a functional MRI. It was just sort of playing around. But it's a really good example for what I'm talking about. So hooking up a functional MRI to the brain and then literally just having someone wiggle their big toe and seeing what that functional MRI looks like. So what parts of the brain lights up, light up. So what they did is they had someone wiggle their big toe, and they saw that that person's, you know, kind of all different parts of their brain lit up. And then they did a network adjustment, network spinal, which is the name of this approach. And then they went back in and they did the same thing again, functional MRI, wiggle the big toe. And what they found is that after that adjustment, the amount of the brain that was being used to wiggle the big toe was actually just the very specific part of the brain that is designed to move your big toe.
Okay.
Okay. So are we starting to get it now?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Actually what you're doing is you're only using that part of your brain. Because you think like, oh, wouldn't you want to use more of your brain? Well, not for wiggling your big toe.
Right.
What does that leave for everything else
exactly.
in your life? Right?
Exactly.
And so just the part of your brain that needs to work is working. And the rest is available for everything else.
So it's kind of like the best path, the most efficient path of least resistance. So if you have to bring 60 people from Dallas, Texas to Minneapolis, you could put them all in separate cars and have them drive all over the U.S. and they would all get to Minneapolis eventually. Or you could put them in one vehicle, drive them up 35 and have them get there in one, and that would be much more efficient.
Right. And just like that, you know, you're wiggling your big toe and you're just using that one part of your brain, all of a sudden you're able to accomplish so much more with the same amount of work.
Right.
And what does that open up for you in your opportunities in your life, for your success in life, for your relationships in life? What if you could be holding the space for all of those things and doing those things at their best, at their most efficient, just like the best athlete out there has, you know, incredible body and you know, spatial awareness. The best person out there has incredible awareness in their nervous system too. And that relates to everything they do in their life.
And less fatigue, I would imagine.
Exactly.
Like using things less so they can go do other... They can physically go do other things as well as mentally.
Exactly. So another thing that we quite commonly use to look at this is surface EMG and thermography and, you know, other things that are actually looking at different components of the nervous system, the musculature. And so when we're looking at surface EMG, a lot of times what we'll see, which is showing the activity of the muscles... A lot of times what we'll see is they're using their muscles a lot more than they have to. And what that's doing is that's just dumping energy. And so no wonder you would feel fatigued at, you know, the end of the day when you're redlining on the levels on how much your muscles are working when you're, and these, you know, these tests are done just at rest, just sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're using that much energy just sitting there, how much does that leave for, you know, going home and like giving your kids love and attention? How much does that leave for being there for your coworker in a time of need? And we've all had those moments when we've felt like we just can't give another ounce. And so what does it mean to have more energy, more, you know, energy efficiency in a nervous system that's organized at a higher level? So this is when I'm talking about being organized at a higher level. It's sort of like when you've got this big cluttered closet that you kind of throw stuff in and you know, you shut the door and hope that when you open the door the next time, does it all come piling out? What if you just like take a little bit of time, spend a couple of hours or a weekend pulling everything out of the closet, reorganizing it, putting it in boxes, and then every single time you go in that closet, you now know exactly where that thing is. You can go get it, grab it, and pull it out.
Right.
And get on with your day.
That's a great analogy, just for the fact of I'm thinking of, yeah, when you closet, kitchen, you know, when you can just grab things and do it, it makes your cooking so much easier when you just know where things are and they're in their place and boom, 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 versus the, well, there's a drawer and there's stuff in it and I have to find it. Makes a lot more pleasant living life on a daily basis.
Yeah, less burnt food, you know.
Right? Exactly. So you go to school, you go through chiropractic school, you take on this modality, and then now you're bringing it back here for us. So talk about what it looks like to come see you and work with you.
Yeah, so generally when someone comes into the practice, how that looks is, I never charge to sit down and have a conversation with someone just to make sure that the care is going to be a good fit for that person. If and once we do determine that that is a good fit, you're going to get a very extensive examination process I like to use a lot of objective measures so that we can really be clear on what's going on, the progress that's happening in their body and their spine over time. And a lot of people say it's the most thorough, you know, examination they've ever met. And a lot of people find that they really understand what's going in their body, going on in their body in a way that they never really did before. I hear that a lot. Like they really get it. And then after all of that, I spend time going over all of their results, and then I review that with them. And then I do explain, you know, kind of how that process looks for everyone, which basically once someone starts that process, initially what we're looking at is very gentle, very low force contacts, just about the amount of pressure you would use to squeeze a ripe tomato. So very gentle, just at the connective tissue layer first off. And so really what I'm looking at that level is I'm looking to establish the brain-body connection. And really what we're seeing at that level is watching a lot of the tension unwind in the system. I'm looking for that happening. I'm looking for more breath and ease coming into the system. And really for the muscles that are overfiring to stop overfiring and the muscles that are underfiring to start coming online. And so really this is the beginning of the process where people start to just find more ease, stability in their system, more breath, and more connection. Now, beyond that, the contacts, which, you know, are basically we're looking and doing an analysis at each visit to see where I can make the highest impact using the least amount of force. So this really fits in with that concept of being energy efficient, right? How can I teach your body to be energy efficient by showing it where it can make the biggest impact through that analysis? So later, as people progress through care, we'll be going into the muscular layer and deeper into the bone. And, you know, really what I'm looking at is in the early, those early phases of care, we're looking at developing a respiratory wave that actually goes through and rocks every single vertebra in the spine. Later in care, what we'll see emerge and develop is a body-mind wave. We could call it a somato-respiratory or a somato-psychic wave. Okay, so as that wave moves through the system, what's actually happening is it also is rocking the vertebrae. It's a little bit more of an undulating, more of a, it's actually going through various levels of the spine. And what I think is really, really phenomenal about and fascinating about this particular wave is in studies they've done, it's been actually researched in about 7 different research universities. And one study that was done, it was actually first published in a journal of mathematics and engineering.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So basically what they did, I mentioned surface EMG, they actually used that as a way of measuring what was going on with this wave. They had a chaos mathematician analyzing the data. And what they started to realize is that what we're talking about, you know, your body and your life and your nervous system reorganizing, what was actually what was happening mathematically. That literally the nervous system was becoming more efficient and organizing to higher and higher levels. And this over time, not just one time, not 2 times, not 10 times, but more and more and more energy efficiency in the spine and nervous system. So what's even more interesting is, and this is when the CAA started coming and knocking on their door, because what they realized, you may have heard about this concept that of gait analysis, not, you know, kind of looking at your gait and seeing how it's off, but actually using it in airports, malls, different places for security, so that as you're walking, they can actually identify. And this is a survival mechanism. It makes sense. It's your signature. We've all seen someone way far down the hall and you can't even see their face, but you're like, oh, that's so-and-so, because you know by the way they move, right? Because it's kind of their signature. So, and this is unique. It's like a retina scan or a fingerprint, is every single person has their own very unique rhythm of their gait, where even if they were to break their leg, you would still be able to recognize them on crutches or with a limp or a cane. So what they discovered is that this wave that develops and emerges in the spine over the course of care. The somatopsychic wave is also that same kind of, it's called a central pattern generator. So it's a similar, it is your unique signature. There's no one else out there that has the same one as you. So mathematically, it's unique.
Interesting.
So what does that mean when we talk about that? So when you think about all of the ways throughout life, we tend to develop patterns in our body, in our life. Movement patterns, mannerisms. They say that, and I can't remember the numbers, but it's something along the lines of babies have like an unlimited number of ways that they move, right? Like hundreds of different movement patterns on a daily basis. And by the time we're 5 years old, that number has been cut, you know, by half or more. And by the time we're adults, we have a very, very limited number of movement patterns that we use in our body on a day-to-day basis, because we have sort of become conditioned about how, like, you look at a baby. If we were to start doing some of the things that babies do, would we get some funny looks on the street? Right? And so fitting into society is very important, and that's really what we're learning how to do through our childhood. But also what it does is it limits us. And so what you can imagine, it creates, you know, patterns, mind-body patterns as well. So what you can imagine what happens is we have these conditioned patterns in our body, and you can imagine how when we're limited to a certain very small number of patterns, movement patterns, how that could create, for example, pain, right? Because our body isn't moving in its most fluid, dynamic way possible. But what's even more important is that is limiting us in our experience. So back to the central pattern generator. So this wave moves through our spine. This wave that we now know is literally our unique signature. It's the only one that is not associated with gait that's known out there. So as this unique signature moves through our spine that is our unique self, it starts to break up some of those patterns that are sourced in our spine and allows us to be our full self. And live from our full self.
Interesting. And opening up those options. So then that pattern, then that unique pattern would shift for a person, right? It would open up so it wouldn't be one particular way. It would be the signature pattern that you talked about would kind of shift.
Well, the signature, just like the gait, is always, for example, you break your leg, but that you still have your unique pattern.
Okay.
Just like your fingerprint or your retina scan, for example.
Okay.
What it will do is it will actually move, and this is another place as people progress and move through care, we'll see it actually move through different places in their spine.
Okay.
And that has a lot to do with how they're connecting and relating to their life, to others, to different parts of their experience, their mental experience, their emotional experience, kind of looking at both lower and mental, upper mental, sort of that big picture view versus the kind of analytical, logical, sort of conditioned mental experience, and also our connection to others, that spiritual relationship, and sort of where that wave is moving in their body is also going to relate to a lot of those different experiences.
And that's another thing in our culture. We have this sort of wall between, you know, the physical and the relating to others and relating to our life and our lives and how we function in them, and not really understanding how interconnected all of that is. And it's a shift. It's a lot to figure out as a, you know, to experience as a person trying to figure that out, but we don't in our culture. I think we're just starting to. I mean, I think there is more of that sort of not making them all their own separate silos, but really understanding that interconnectedness.
Yeah. And what I think that we don't realize, or we're just starting to realize more and more, is how much, first of all, the body relates to our experience in life. We're starting to understand that past traumas, for example, get really held in our body. And intuitively, we already know it. We can look at someone and we can tell if they've had a traumatic life. And so we're starting to understand that by making shifts in our body, that can actually affect our mind, our emotion, our everything else. What we don't realize quite as often is that by making shifts in our body, it also can create shifts in our connection to the allness of everything. Because what if that unique wave was moving through your heart space? Or to the space just in front of your heart that you have created the strategies in life for shutting down to keep you from experiencing the pain because you didn't have the energy to deal with what you needed to in order to fully be with whatever it was that happened to you in your life at that moment. Whatever that past trauma was, whatever that experience was, you did not have the energy available in your system to deal with that. And so you shut down. You created armor and you did whatever you had to do to experience, to not have to fully experience the pain of that moment.
Right.
And so now what would happen if you had the energy available to the degree that you can have this you-ness, this unique signature that is you, move through the space that has created that disconnection from the world, from your connection to the greatness of the universe, to the allness of everything.
So I'm thinking somebody might hear that and that might strike a little bit of fear. All of a sudden they open up, and then what does it mean for them to handle some of these things? What is that going to look like for them?
That's a very valid thought process. And that is one that someone should go about deliberately. Because there are modalities out there and there are things out there that if you just like dive in and you have some huge spiritual awakening, you may not have the energy available in your system to sustain that. You may not have the stability in your system to sustain that. And actually, this did happen in the past, even with this exact work, that people would have these, you know, like life-shaking experiences and then go back to their bank job and, you know, didn't know how to cope with it. And actually, one of the amazing things about this work is that it has been researched again and again and again and developed as based on that research, as a result of that research. So effectively what that means is how the whole point of what we're doing, just to go back to what the answer to your question, the whole point of what we're doing, and this is what has been developed based on research over time to make sure that we're doing it effectively, and things have changed over and over again, and it drives people, it has driven people who do the work crazy for the last three decades, because it's constantly changing and evolving based on that research. And so what we now know is, yes, that is incredibly important to have stability first. And that's why when I talked about that very first level of care, we're doing those very gentle contacts, we're looking at establishing ease, peace, breath, and stability and security in the system. Because if you just start bringing in a bunch of instability when there's no stability, that isn't necessarily better for people.
Right.
So remember what we're talking about here is energy efficiency and energy availability. And so you're absolutely right. If you don't have the energy available in your life to deal with that stuff, you should not do it. You should not go, I'm not saying you shouldn't do the care. You should probably get the care so you can have more energy available in your life.
Right.
But I'm not going to all of a sudden start, you know, putting you in connection with the allness of everything and flip that switch and send you down that path. And when you don't have the resource available in your nervous system to handle that.
So if somebody's working with you and sort of things are coming up, that's something they should kind of address with you, or at least kind of let you know where they're at.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course. And I'll let you know that this is a conversation that happens in care. So it's not just like all of a sudden, whoop, one day, like you had this, you know, spiritual experiences. People do have very deep experiences, very connected experiences. And sometimes further on in care, very, you know, even cathartic and emotional experiences. But what I'm talking about, kind of going all the way there to that greater connection, that ultimate gift of this work, that is advanced care. And that is, I'm holding the space for every single person that walks into my practice to getting to that point. Can you imagine how the world would be different? However, it doesn't happen every day, and it happens over time. So really what's important for me to make sure is to get the baselines. As a yoga teacher, I often looked at, many of us have heard about the chakra system, which is a good symbol for moving through life. At the very root, you have your physical survival needs being met. And you can't really have an awakened experience if you don't know where your next meal is coming from, mm-hmm. right? And so similarly in practice, I'm doing a similar thing, because I'm really making sure that there's just, people have their basic survival needs met. They're able to connect with their body and their life. They're able to find ease. They're able to breathe. You know, some of these baseline concepts.
Right.
And we go from there.
Nice. I have to circle back just because this keeps niggling my brain. I love that the research that really helps describe this modality is done by mathematicians. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's such an interesting piece to remind us, you know, who thinks that mathematicians are looking at this stuff, right? That's not what we think of, but it's really neat and cool, and that it's not in a medical journal. Like, it would be good if it is, and hopefully it has been, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But how interesting is it that it's in a math journal? It just, where we find this, and how many people miss that because it's not in what we think it typically is, and they're looking at it from that perspective, which is kind of amazing. That's very cool. So I do have one question that we didn't talk about, but it came up while you were talking about this. In the whole concept of stress, and stress being such a huge thing in our life and something that isn't really as addressed, it's talked about in doctor's offices. Oh, you know, do something about your stress, but nobody really, it's a rare thing that a doctor says, you know, go work with a Qigong person, or, you know, they might say go meditate or go read this book, which is a great way to start. But there's a lot of information that is available that isn't handed to us by our doctor. So do you have a tool, a thought, some method that you could pass on to people? Life is crazy, life is busy, but what can they do to even just help them de-stress or hear, or maybe both, hear themselves better, be in touch with that kind of inner garden guidance, help to open that up?
That is such a good question. It's a really important question too, because, you know, for reasons that we already said. One is to realize that there's a couple of different components to stress. So there is this idea of good stress and bad stress. And so I'll touch on that a little bit, and also to realize that stress is 100% has everything to do with the nervous system. So even the stress hormones that are released because there's nerves that are firing on those glands telling them to be released. So when you have a healthy and energy efficient nervous system, you're able to, I'm less concerned with the people who are in my practice with how much stress they have in their life as I am with their ability for their nervous system to adapt to that stress. Because here's the thing, we can seek balance in our life by balancing the amount of stress that we have with downtime, for example, self-care. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm one of the biggest proponents of self-care there is, and so that, of course, will be one of my recommendations. And also, I will tell you that some of the moments in life when you are feeling so on purpose and so alive and so excited and energized by what you're doing that you can just keep on going and hardly get any sleep, but you're still just like alive and awake and happy and stress-free, even though there's a lot of stress in your life. We've all had that experience, right? Mm-hmm. And so one is to realize that actually having a sense of purpose maybe one of the most overlooked components to stress management. It's really understanding, why the heck am I here? Why am I doing this? Why am I showing up at my job every day? Not to question whether you're at the right place as far as your job goes, but okay, so you are showing up there. What is your purpose while you're there? And if it's not to be there, where do you want to be? And if that is where you want to be, how can you be the best where you are? Not just in your job, but in your relationships and everything else. So really bringing that sense of purpose to your life, I think, is a huge component for helping with stress. We are constantly inundated with external noise telling us what to do, who to be, what to buy, how to spend our time. And there is no shortage of people, organizations, products out there that want us to know how we should be living our lives. So one of the most foundational, essential things that you can do is spend time really uncovering your own why, your what's important to you, and your values. If you can look at your values and your roles in life and really be looking at how you want to be spending your life, it really allows you to bring in the focus and have an intuitive understanding of what to pay attention to, what not to pay attention to. When you've got your eyes on the prize and you know where you're going, you block out the things that don't even matter, but you've got to get your eyes on the prize. And so what that actually takes, and this is where it gets a little bit tricky, because this is always the part where when you need it the most, you don't think you have it. And that's time put in to yourself. Mm. That's time put into being quiet enough to hear that still small voice within. That little inner voice that can tell you when to go with your doctor's advice and when to say thank you but no thank you. That can tell you to keep on looking. That can, you know, light up when you walk past something in the store or on the street and tells you inside, wait, go in there. Whatever it is, that voice is there and is there for everyone, but it does take a little bit of stillness and quiet. It does take a little bit of managing our addictions to our devices. I will be the first one to tell you that. So there are structures, there are behaviors, and there are perceptions that need to shift in order for anything in life to shift. And every single one of us is a little bit stronger in one of those three areas, and the other two kind of come along for the ride, or probably a couple of those areas. So some people really, if they shift their perceptions, that makes a huge shift in their life. Some people, if they focus on the structures of their life, their schedule, if they like get stuff structured in, then it can happen, and everything else kind of follows behind. Some people just need to start doing stuff different. So just really also recognizing which one of those things or which two of those things are sort of the lead things for you. Because most people, one of those three, if you try to lead with that thing, it'll drain you. For me, if I just start doing stuff, that's really draining for me. But if I first get sort of my perception around it, how I want it to feel, what I want it to look like, and then I set up the structure, then I can really go about the behavior in a way that's energizing, and that full, you know, transformation can really happen. So really looking at some of these things, and these are some of the ways of actually creating energy efficiency in our life, just by looking through these concepts. And honestly, I'm actually looking at those three things in when I'm working with people's systems. I'm looking at the structure, the perception, and the behavior. I'm looking at all of those three components of how their system is relating to that, mm-hmm. and using that within the work that I do too. So really, as far as stress goes, oftentimes we talk about learning to say no, and I think that that's really important, but I think that people find that that's hard. And I think it's because people inherently recognize that the way to really feel alive is actually by saying yes. Mm. So that creates a conflict. And so what I would offer for people is to find a bigger yes, to find a way to say yes to whatever it is. If you have someone asking you to do something and you know that it's too much for you to do right now, what part of that can you say yes to? Can you say yes to, I would love to do that, but I can't do it right now. I would really love to find a time next year that I can do that for you or with you. And ultimately, even in circumstances where you have to say no, just a flat out no, there's a bigger yes that you're saying to something else. Mm. Can you connect to that? Mm-hmm. Can you connect to that? Because saying no, there is actually no saying no to something. There's only moving towards something else. And if you only say no without having that bigger yes, you're just going to fill it up with Facebook nudes feeds. And, right?
Right. Well, if it's the void, if you're just creating a void versus creating expansion in that thing you are saying yes to that you're trading the no for.
Right. So one of my biggest tips and tools to give people is to simply take out a piece of paper. And anyone can do this right now. And because most people are focused on the no, they're focused on what they don't want and what they want to get away from. Mm-hmm. When really where life is what you're moving towards. So, but it's hard to find that moving towards sometimes because we're so used to focusing on what we don't want. That's fine. We can use that. So take out a piece of paper, draw a line down the middle. On one side, on the left, put what I don't want to happen, what I don't want in my life, things I don't want. On the other side, write what I want. And all you have to do is very simple. You just start writing a list of all the things you don't want because you know it's right there, very present in your mind. Mm-hmm. And then right on the other side of that, just figure out what the correlate is. Actually, so what is it that I want mm-hmm. in relation to that?
Yeah. That's awesome. That's a great answer. I think we would all be benefited by thinking about what self-care means and de-stressing in a different way. Like in a bigger way, in a more personal way. You know, I think of when sometimes this conversation comes up. Oh well, we go take a family vacation every year. Well, that's a big and important thing potentially, but there's a lot more of, like you're saying, it's the be quiet, be present. Some of the smaller things in life can be such bigger, open up such different things for us, and understand how we function to be a more efficient functioner. And sometimes that's as simple as reading a book and processing through the book. What does that mean to you? How does that make you feel? What does that say to you? And what does that have to do with your life? Or a movie even. I mean, I think sometimes we forget about that. We entertain to get away. Mm-hmm. But when we don't like take it in as to what was my time spent there for? And like you say, just the quietness of letting yourself be with yourself. There's a lot of information there.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you. And is there anything else that you want to put out there to the universe? I'm sure there's a lot more that you want to put out to the universe.
How much time you got?
Exactly. How long does this card go for? anything else in this particular situation that you would like to...
You know, I think just some of the things that we've touched on is just living an empowered life, going for more, and really knowing that that more is there. Because, you know, we only get to live once, depending on, you know, what religion you talk to. But, you know, really making the most out of the life that we have. And there is a difference between managing our life so that things don't get bad, and managing our life so that things stay comfortable, and creating a life of our dreams. And I'm telling you right now, there is a lot of people, probably most people, really believe that the people out there that have really extraordinary lives are just like, they were just born into a gifted life. And some of them were, I'm sure. But I will also tell you, there are a lot of people out there, a majority of the people out there that you look up to and you think, wow, they have got something extraordinary. They were born onto this planet exactly the same as every other person. And a lot of them had really significant struggles. And just like I said earlier with people with pain, people who had struggles in their lives are the lucky people because they have the energy there that drives them to want more. They have that basis of comparison. Just like, you know, that time in my life that I was much less healthy and then I found healthy lifestyle practices. And for me, the shift that made, you know, if someone was always just sort of healthy and they were kind of whatever, they may not have that drive to want to bring this to the lives of other people that I did. And so it starts with today. It starts with making the empowered choices today that lead to your tomorrow, that lead to your next year. And if you turn that wheel a quarter inch, you will end up miles away from where you would have ended up if you just stayed in that same rut. So there's a story of a woman who is planting. She had an amazing acres and acres and acres of beautiful tulips. And someone asked her, how did you do this? And she said, well, I did it myself, one by one. And they said, how could you possibly plant all of this yourself? And she said, just one plant at a time.
So tell us how to find you. And I want to highlight the fact that not only do you just have contact information to share, to reach out to you, but you also have monthly community wellness dinners that people can come, have a chance to meet you, hear more about what you have to share, as well as meet some really other awesome people that come to those dinners.
Yes.
So talk about that.
So definitely giving back to the community is a huge part of my purpose on this earth. And so those community wellness dinners do happen on a regular basis. They're sort of my gift back. And the next one is on July 12th. You can find me on Facebook. I believe it's facebook.com/LaraHillDC. And you can also find me on my website, which is LaraHillDC.com. So that's LaraHillDC, as in Doctor of Chiropractic.com. Also, actually, because yoga and the yoga philosophy has had such a strong influence in my practice, you can also find me at the URL YogicChiropractic.com. Y-O-G-I-C, YogicChiropractic.com. So those are probably the best way to get a hold of me. If you want to call for one of those free initial consultations, just to sit down and, you know, have a conversation, see if the care is going to be a good fit, you can call 218-GO-4-MORE. So G-O, the number 4, and more. That's the actual phone number is 218-464-6673. So I absolutely would love to have a conversation with anyone who's feeling called to this work, and anyone who's being called to do work in the world. One of my greatest senses of purpose is sort of one of my mottos is support the supporters. So really helping people show up into their greatest selves so that they can show up into the world.
Well, thank you. I love it. This is great. Thank you for sharing all of just kind of how you came to all of this. I think this is really good.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Just a reminder, Dr. Lara mentioned that she has a community wellness dinner Thursday, July 12th. So it's another great opportunity to learn more information from her and what she's all about. Check her Facebook page and website for times. Facebook.com/LaraHillDC, also LaraHillDC.com, or 218-GO-4-MORE. That's 218-464-6673. Thank you again so much for listening. Check out the rest of the podcasts at WellnessRenPodcast.com. That's WellnessRen, R-E-N, podcast.com. As I mentioned in the intro, you can sign up to get on the email list, which just sends you a quick email when we have an episode come out that says the title of the episode, the information about it, and links so you can get right to it super easy. If you purchase things on Amazon, don't forget to go to the support the podcast page on the website. Just click on through to one of those Amazon links. Shop for what you desire, and a little portion of that sale, not an added charge, but a little portion of the sale that you make goes to support the podcast. Thank you so very much for everyone that has done that and taken the time for a couple extra clicks. We appreciate it. And you can find us on iTunes, subscribe, and if you feel called to leave a review, that would be fantastic. Connect on Facebook at facebook.com/wellnessren. Have a great week, and may you find more pieces that fit into your health puzzle. Until next time.